Chapter 20, The Treasure Hunt. After breakfast, Silver announced that we would leave for the treasure hunt.
"We'll keep Hawkins with us as a hostage," Silver said. "That'll keep the Squire's guns well away from us."
The pirates cheered, and a short discussion was held over the directions on the chart and how best to plot our journey.
Then we set out with everyone but me armed to the teeth. Captain Silver carried guns slung over his back, pistols in his coat pockets, a cutlass strapped to his side, and Captain Flint squawking from his shoulder. I had a line tied around my waist with the other end held by Silver. I felt like a dancing bear in a circus show. Even the fellow with the broken head walked with us. The marsh was slow going near the foot of Spyglass Hill, but it soon gave way to firmer footing with fresh air and sheer sunbeams. Finally, we reached the brow of the plateau that roofed the hill. One of the men called out, and we all rushed to his side.
He stood at the foot of a big pine where a human skeleton lay out on the ground.
The skeleton lay perfectly straight. Its feet pointed in one direction, and its hands were raised above its head like a diver to point in the opposite.
"Them bones don't look natural," suddenly Silver grinned. "He's a compass. This is one of Flint's jokes. He's using the skeleton to point the way."
Morgan shuddered as he leaned close.
"That Flint had an evil sense of humor. I'll not miss him on this journey." "Well, he's dead and he don't walk," Silver said. "Fetch ahead for the doubloons."
We started off again, but the sight of the skeleton seemed to have dampened the pirate's spirits. They walked quietly and close together.
We stopped soon to rest the stick, and a solemn spirit lay heavy on the group.
"Thinking on Flint has made me jumpy," Morgan complained. "I see him in my head, so blue like he was when he gasped his last."
"He was blue,"
another pirate agreed solemnly.
"That's a true word."
Ever since we'd come across the skeleton, the men had spoken lower and lower. Now they nearly whispered, barely interrupting the silence of the woods. Then, in a high, trembling voice ahead of us, we heard,
15 men on a dead man's chest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum."
The color drained from the pirates' faces. They jumped to their feet, and one cried out,
"It's Flint!"
At that, the song broke off in the middle of a note as suddenly as it had begun. Though Silver was as pale and shaken as the rest, he said,
"Someone is playing a trick on us."
Before anyone could answer, the voice came again.
"Fetch half the rum, Darby." "Them was Flint's last words," Morgan said.
"That's it,"
one of the pirates gasped.
"Let's go."
Silver had gone a bit paler than I would have guessed he could, but he stepped up before the other men and said,
"Shipmates, I'm here to get treasure, and I'll not be beat by man nor devil. I wasn't afraid of Flint in life, and I'll not be afraid of him now."
"Belay there, John,"
one of the pirates warned.
"Don't you cross a ghost."
The rest were too horrified to reply.
"I don't believe it is a ghost," Silver said, his voice not as firm as his words. "That voice has an echo, and voices beyond the grave don't echo."
I thought that an odd bit of logic, but the men seemed cheered by it. They began to say perhaps the ghost had not sounded quite like Flint. Suddenly, Silver shouted,
"Ben Gunn! It sounds just like Ben Gunn!"
This made the pirates at ease, as all agreed that the ghost of Ben Gunn couldn't be the least bit scary. They pressed on again with only a few nervous glances. Silver read the chart, and I could see excitement building in the men again. They could smell treasure, and they seemed almost mad for it.
"It should be just ahead,"
Silver called out finally, and the pirates broke into a run. They pushed through a last thicket and burst into a clearing where everyone came to a dead halt. A hole lay ahead of us with a broken pick lying in it and a few stray boards strewn about. The treasure had been found and taken.